Penguin Random House Audio presents Catchpenny, a novel by Charlie Houston. Read for you by Pete Cross. For Virginia, the love story. For Clementine, the magic. See. I don't do anything in order to cause trouble. It just so happens that what I do naturally causes trouble. Sinead O'Connor. Prologue. Cersei's mom started the ritual after she heard the detectives talking at the end of the third day. "Time's up on this kid," one of them said to his partner. Missing teenagers were never found after 3 days. Not ones who disappeared like Cersei had, without a trace. That overheard comment sent Cersei's mom to her daughter's bedroom, desperate to do something hopeful, anything that would signal to the universe that she knew her daughter would be coming home. She started the ritual with hope, and without understanding what she was doing. She only knew what she wanted. She wanted nothing to change. She told herself that when Cersei came home, everything should be exactly how she had left it. So she took pictures of Cersei's bedroom, documenting where everything was, careful not to step on the shag rug in the middle of the floor because she didn't want to mar any of Cersei's footprints. She felt better in the room, but it was only after she stepped into the hall that she realized it was the smell that had soothed her. The heavy scent of Cersei. It wouldn't last long if she wasn't careful. She checked to make sure the window was shut, but leaving the room, she felt a stir of air on her bare feet through the crack at the bottom of the door. A possible escape route for molecules that had once clung to Cersei's skin and hair. Using a roll of black duct tape, she fashioned a baffle that she could adhere to the bottom of the door to seal the crack. Then she remembered the central air vent in the floor. She was about to go back inside the room when she became aware of her own scent. Her soap and shampoo, the fabric softener on her t-shirt. These might interfere with the purity of Cersei. She stripped and took a shower, scrubbed herself raw with a washcloth. On a shelf in the bathroom cupboard was an unopened package of underwear, and in the hamper a sports bra that smelled faintly of her own sweat and nothing more. She put these on and went back into Cersei's room and taped over the floor vent. For good measure, she ran tape around the edges of the window. Then she left the room and started a load of laundry, washing several pairs of shorts and t-shirts and some underwear and a few bras in plain water. She ran them through 2 cycles and then left them to air dry in Cersei's bathroom in the hope that any odors they absorbed there would match the smells of her daughter's bedroom. The ritual had begun. The once daily visits to the shrine of her daughter, the stripping naked, the careful washing, the clothing of herself in specially prepared vestments, the prayerful entry into the temple. Prayerful because she never stopped hoping, believing, that the next time she opened the door, she would find Cersei in her bed, having snuck back in as silently as she had snuck out the night she disappeared. Did Cersei's mom really not know what she was doing? Considering her family history, it would be hard to believe she had no inkling, but she claimed ignorance to the end. All she wanted, she would say, was to preserve that link to her daughter, a fading scent that proved Cersei had been there. Proved she had lived. Whatever Cersei's mom's intentions, her actions had consequences. 6 days and nights passed, and the smell of her daughter began to fade. She stood outside the door one evening, asking, praying, begging. She was afraid to ask for too much, scared to beg to be awakened from a nightmare and find everything as it had been before. That felt like a jinx. Her requests had become smaller and smaller, until there was just the one thing she was willing to ask for. She'd only ask that her daughter's scent would linger a little longer, deep in her pillow, in the kangaroo pocket of her favorite hoodie, in an unwashed bandana. Cersei's scent had faded from so many things. Even Dizzy, the stuffed bat that Cersei had kept on her bed since childhood, had become so void of scent that her mom had let herself remove it from the room so she could carry it around. She had it with her that evening, as she prayed. Let the sage and dirt and citrus smell of her daughter hide in just a few places. Let there be something she could bury her nose in and bring the feeling of Cersei into her. She asked for that, silently. What mattered wasn't who or what she implored. What mattered was the power of her wanting. What mattered was the meticulousness of the ritual she'd created. What mattered was the stuffed bat she clutched in her hand, pressed into the hollow of her throat as she prayed before opening the door. That unique object of her daughter's affection, that fuzzy curiosity. That was what mattered most of all. When Cersei's mom opened the door and saw that someone was in the bed, she knew it wasn't her daughter. She was spared that twist of cruelty. It wasn't Cersei. It wasn't anyone she had seen before. It wasn't anything she had ever suspected might exist. It was a darkness in the darkness. Very still in the moment she opened the door, then suddenly a quiver, as if it had been startled. But it wasn't a shadow. It was a cloud. It rippled as she stepped into the room, her fist clenched. Something was in her daughter's room. Something was on her daughter's bed. For the first time in a week, she was filled with emotions more powerful than despair. She was filled with fear and rage. She wanted to crush the cloud, the stuffed bat's crumpled wings sticking from either end of her bald fist. The cloud had a shape when she first opened the door, a shape that was dissipating now, a large animal, somehow poorly made. It reminded her of knotted rags. She rushed across the room and the cloud ripped itself to tatters, became a fluttering of scraps. They were all over the room, fleeing from her, as if her anger and fear drove them. Up the walls to the ceiling, into the high corners, down the walls to the floor, away from her. She screamed and flailed her arms, jumped on the bed to try to get at them, jumped down, chasing. In waves, they poofed out of existence, just like that. Gone, gone, gone. She stopped screaming, stopped trying to punish the cloud for being in her daughter's room. She stopped moving. The remaining cloud specks calmed. Gathered, drew toward her. She didn't move, only breathed. The little mass, no bigger than a penny, all that remained of the cloud, floated in on the tide of her breath and slipped up her nose. It was Cersei. An odor, deep and pungent and present, the strongest trace of her that her mom had smelled since the night the girl went away. Longer than that, because this wasn't teenage Cersei. This was toddler Cersei. Doughy spit up, powder, her downy hair, a little poo. It hit her and she couldn't stand up. She fell to her knees, bringing the poor mangled bat to her face to wipe her tears. And that's when she remembered that the bat, Dizzy, had not always been Cersei's favorite. Before Dizzy, there had been Sparky, a malformed rag pony they had made together. Cersei had loved Sparky, keeping the toy in her grubby hands until it was coated in dirt and baby food and drool and snot. Then she saw Dizzy on a drugstore shelf, discounted the week after Halloween, and she'd had to have it. She began to sleep with Dizzy under her chin instead of Sparky. Taking advantage of the opportunity, Cersei's mom had carried Sparky to the washing machine. She'd been about to add the rag pony to a load of towels when she caught the scent of the thing— the thick, lush rankness of it. It smelled like her daughter's tiny childhood. She dropped Sparky in a Ziploc bag, and then dropped that inside a second Ziploc, and then dropped the whole thing in a plastic bin where she kept little mementos. If Cersei asked for Sparky, she would give it a wash and turn it over. If not, she'd see if she could preserve that lovely, disgusting odor. Cersei never asked about Sparky. And her mom forgot. until that moment on the floor of her missing daughter's room, with that fantastically rank, fantastically undeniable Circe smell in her nose. There had been several homes during the years after she got Circe away from her father.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?